temptation. How many of you like math? Like math? Like mathematics? No? Okay. So let's see if this is going to work. All right, what's the answer? Yeah. Negative one. So there's this group. It's called the, I think I got it up here, the Millennium Prize Problem set by Clay Mathematics Institute in 2000. If you can solve one of these problems, you will win $1 million. They will give you $1 million. There was seven of them. There's six of them here. There was seven of them. And a few years ago, one of the mathematics professor from Russia solved it. But they said basically he didn't want anything to do with the money, didn't want anything to do with anybody in life. He just leave me alone. I just saw the problem. Leave me alone. And so that's basically his attitude. But and these have to do with all kinds of different areas. It's not just mathematics. Most is physics. One of them has got to do with flowing liquids in a pipe and stuff. So if you want to look these up and solve one of them, there you go. You want to be a millionaire? That's how you want to do it. But these have been around for 18 years, and nobody's been able to do it yet. But you know, the nice thing is the Bible is not that complicated. The Bible is understandable no matter what people say. But I will say that the key to understanding the Bible begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you really want to understand, because that is what the Bible is about. It's revealing Him and God's love and who God is. It's a book of relationship. Now, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. And Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Bible. So don't get frustrated if you're reading through and you don't understand something. My basic thing is I encourage people to start in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, read through that, get an understanding, and let God show you. Don't feel you got to become a scholar, if that's what you want to do. It's great, but of every single verse in the Bible. Remember, the Bible was given to us for a relationship, not just a document for us to understand and try to figure out what it says and all that. So the verse we want to look at today is found in James chapter 1. We'll start off with this verse. And you realize on Sunday mornings, we just barely scratch the surface on any topic. Hopefully it's a stirring and it stirs something to begin to think about, begin to listen to what else the Holy Spirit wants to say to each one of us. And if we could read these verses together, there's three verses here. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So I'm going to go back to these two verses. So the word tempt basically means to try something. How many of you have ever went fishing with a lure? You used a lure on the fish and caught something. You ever caught, actually went fishing? And it's exciting and stuff. And yet you have to pick the right lure for the right fish. And unless you interview the fish, it's hard to know what they feel like they're going to bite on that day. But you don't use a musky lure, which is about this big, to catch bluegill or bass. You know, or trout. You know, you got to use the right one. Same thing with hunting. How many ever went hunting and used a special call? They have all kinds of different calls you can use. They have scents you can have. You can put on, you can smell like the things out there. They have decoys about every kind of animal you can imagine. They have decoys out there and stuff that you can use. And this word here, when we're talking about, and the second part is, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away. That word actually means to lure, like fishing or hunting. It means to entice you out of a safe place, out of self-control. So what it's saying is that when we're tempted, there's a place, something is tempting us to get us out. And the word actually entice is a word, another word for bait. So it's a baiting you and baiting us, baiting me, whoever is dealing with this, on something. And just like different fish, different animals have different things to tempt us, so do we. Based on who we are, our upbringing, our personality, things we went through, all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of things that happen. The result, as we see with that, is that, if we get it to go to the next one, is that it says, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, Jesus dealt with something, was here, and it's not just, when we talk about temptation, it's just that I'm actually going to do an action. It has to do with our thoughts, too. And if you remember, Jesus dealt with that. Because the people back then, you know, same as people today, you know, there's not, humans haven't changed that much. We just, what we're, the society we live in. But they were dealing with the fact that they were living this life, but inside, their thoughts, their feelings, it was just totally corrupt. And so it's not just what's going on outwardly, it's what's going on inwardly that we're talking about. So what can we, when we read here, says that, when it's fully conceived, it gives birth to death. So when we talk about death, what can we not live with as a person? One of them, the first one is air. And I don't know if you saw that there's people wanting to go and live on Mars. They're trying to populate Mars. And I'm sitting there thinking, I wouldn't mind visiting, but to know that if I step outside my house, I'm going to die. And without a mask or anything, no matter what, or if there's a leak, that doesn't thrill me a little bit. But I wouldn't mind going there and visiting. That would be pretty cool. If they could get you there a little bit faster than whatever it takes to get there now. But typically, we can survive about maybe 3 minutes without air before we start getting brain damage and stuff. But there's this thing they do. It's called static apnea. And that there's a world record for somebody to hold their breath underwater and not move is over 11 minutes. And he doesn't have brain damage. And so you know, there's things that can happen like that. What's another thing we really need? Water. And that varies, depends on what you're doing. I mean, if you're out in the desert sweating and everything, you're not going to last as long as somebody who isn't dealing with that. So water is important. Another thing is food, and that varies still, you know, on the individual. And they said the longest person who ever lived without food lived for 74 days, I think it was. But then they died because they were on a hunger strike. But anyways, so that's why they got this record. But so all these things, you know, we can live without. But Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, and I came that you might have life and have it to the full. So let's talk about death here. It's not necessarily a physical death. It's a relational death between us and God. Yet that in itself can begin to affect us physically, psychologically, relationally, emotionally. It can affect, I know what you're laughing at, and can affect us. All right. Lois, maybe you're not laughing at that, but she just has this thing that I come home and I'll tell her some terrible news. I mean, I just read these things and said, oh, you know, this happened today. Was that supposed to encourage me? Is that what, almost every day. So I have to watch myself because I read these stuff and those things I remember, and I come home and I share these horrible things with her. Okay, thanks for making my day. You know, so. So anyways, that's why I added that little bit. He died. That's what I think. Was that right? Am I right? Yeah, see? I knew it. I knew that's what was going on. So we saw in the beginning, right at the in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, they sinned, but they didn't die. But they did spiritually. And yet, in eternity, if we don't deal with that, it'll drastically affect us for eternity if we don't deal with that sin going on. So how do we overcome sin? Well, there's a verse in the scripture, if I can get this to respond. Let's see. There's a scripture in Oops, I got things mixed up there. Okay, there's a scripture. We're not going to go to scripture yet. That when we deal with that, let me go ahead and go to that. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So there's your guarantee. There's a guarantee that you will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. You will not be tempted beyond what you can't say, no, I'm not going to do that. But the thing is how do we prevent that from happening? Well, a big part of that is stay away from things you know that you're going to fall into. You know what your weaknesses are. And again, we're not just talking about action. We're talking even thoughts. You know, if I start thinking about this, then that's going to lead me over here, and that's going to lead me over here. Pretty soon, who knows? I'm angry. I hate this person, or I don't like, or I got this offense. And so we know this path, and we say it, the closer you get to that edge, the potential is you're going to fall off, and you're going to sin, which leads to death. So it's recognizing it's much easier to deal with that path if I'm dealing with it out here, then if I get right on the edge, or if I've already slipped over, it's a lot harder to stop that fall than it is if I'm out here and I think, no, I know this. I know this. I recognize that lure. That tried to catch me before. That's why fish get bigger, because they got smarter. They said, I recognize that's going on, and so I'm not going to go over there and take that, because I know it could lead me into sin. And I'm not going to test it. I'm not going to test God. I'm not going to go over there. And so when I was in, let me see if I can get it going. When we were in a couple weeks ago, I was in Alaska. I don't know if you know, Alaska has the second largest tidal difference in the world. Some that's up to 39 feet. So that means what was here, and sometime it can go, it's going to be 39 feet of water is going to be here from there. This here is glacier silt, because all the glaciers and stuff. And they said it's very, very tempting to go out onto that. Very tempting. People want to, they collect some of this silt, because I guess for your skin and stuff, it's supposed to be really good. But there's signs all over said don't do it. There's signs, and they warn any tourist, everything we went on says, don't do it, because it's like quicksand. You get out there on it, and he says, and then if you get in there, the only way you're going to get help is from above. And that is, they have to get a helicopter, and they have to come in and strap you and pull you out. And so the temptation is not falling into these things, staying away from that path that we know where it's going to lead us. Even though that path can feel very comfortable because you've been there before. That path is very comfortable because this just feels like home. You know, this temptation is just comfortable. I'm used to walking down this path. I'm used to thinking that way. I'm used to doing whatever I'm doing, even though I know back here that it's sin, or that could lead me to sin. But I can stop. I can control this. Well, yeah, but why? Why go to the edge where you can fall off and die? Especially when we know the promise we have, as we heard, we said there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone. You have a choice. We don't have to put up with what we were. We don't have to keep walking that same thing. We don't have to keep dealing with that. We can say, no, I'm a new creation. Therefore, I can have new thoughts, new desires, new ways. In Romans chapter 12, 2, it says, do not conform to this world, but renew our mind to transform. We can start thinking different. You know, you're thinking will basically lead you to actions. Whatever you start thinking, so we start thinking, we get new thought patterns. We start thinking, no, I'm not going to take that path. I'm going to take this path. This is the new creation path. That's the old creation path. I know where that's going to go, what's going to happen there. So even our thinking, and it's learning to catch these things. Because remember, the enemy is there luring you, trying to get you to think ways and make you think, well, that's okay. Just keep going down this path. And no, I'm a new creation. No, I'm renewing my mind. I'm going to think differently. I'm going to look at things. I'm going to train myself to not go down that same path where it seems comfortable. Apostle Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:7, says, train yourself to be godly. That word actually is exercise. The word means exercise. We can train ourselves on how we think, how we see, how we feel. When I see somebody, you know, have you ever looked at somebody that reminds you of somebody else? And then were you angry at that person? Because they remind you of the person that you're angry about over here? Well, see, I have to train myself to think, I don't need to look that way. I don't need to think that way. I don't need to act this way. I'm going to train myself. God, help me to see things differently. Help me to see life, people, my life, myself. You know, it's a big thing. It's even looking at yourself. I'm going to train myself that I'm going to let myself fall into those old patterns of how I think and how I feel. We might think temptation means, well, I'm going to go kill somebody. I'm going to lie or cheat. You know, temptation is when we are sinning against God and not being who he called us to be and to do. And we're thinking, well, I can't do that because this and that in my past. And because, you know, well, Jesus, yeah, communion, we took communion, your forgiveness, but that doesn't count here. So that's my thoughts. So we have to rethink and learning how to think that way. In Romans chapter 6, it talks all about how, it says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, with Jesus, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Whenever, that's really what's happening there. That temptation is to bring us into slavery, to slavery to that sin. And he says, in the same way, count or reckon, that's what it is, yourselves dead to sin but alive to Christ. So if I'm going along and this temptation is coming, I know, I think, but I'm dead to that. That is no response here because I'm a new creation. I've been crucified with Christ. I'm going to walk in this newness of life. That is dead to me. That temptation is dead to me. Those things are dead to me. What's alive to me is what God wants me to do, what God has for me, what Christ has called me to be and to do. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We have helper. Jesus didn't send us just so we can just have to figure this out. He himself was tempted. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And then it goes on and says in 4:15 says that he himself, he has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Isn't it nice to know? Isn't it nice? How many of you have ever been coached? You've been on a team, you've been coached before on some kind of team, or was somebody actually mentored you, maybe in a craft or taught you how to do something? Isn't it nice to know that whoever's coaching you or teaching you knew something about what they were doing? Actually experienced it, you know. That's the same Jesus. Jesus is our coach, our mentor, and he experienced it. He's not talking just hypothetically. He's talking reality. He's experienced every temptation, the form of it, and he overcame it, did not sin. So he can help us in those moments. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of us may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. When we are going along in life and we don't have things that are encouraging us in our Christian walk, you know what happens? There's a hardening that begins to go on in our heart. And that hardening will cause us to be more subject to being deceived. So the question is, what do you have in your life that's encouraging you in your Christian walk? You think, I don't need anything. I don't need to do anything. Well, you don't need to do anything to be saved, to have Christ, except receive that faith. But if you want to walk that Christian life, if you want to be free from the slavery of sin, there are stuff you need to do. Because we will be deceived into thinking we don't need to do anything. And pretty soon, we slip. We're back on that path. We're over here. Why is this going on? Because our heart becomes hard if we don't have things that soften it, keeping it soft to God. And that could be whatever God's given you to do. Reading your Bible, daily devotions, worship, singing, listening to music, sharing, being with friends, whatever. Things that help us to encourage us, which means to build strength. Another thing that helps us is the Bible, the Word of God. I don't know where we are on this, but this Psalm 119. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's something about, say, you will not be a strong Christian without the word of God. Bottom line, you can pretend and think, and it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You might be emotionally up and down and everything, but if you want to be strong and grow in your Christian life, you have to be in the word of God. Whatever that means. I'm not saying you got to memorize the whole thing, but being in it and letting God speak to you and let it become part of us. So being in the word helps us. The Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16 says that if we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Do you remember, it's classified as the Lord's Prayer and Matthew 6, but it's really the disciples' prayer. Because Jesus was teaching disciples. Remember one of the part of that? What was the part of that prayer? That God, Jesus told us to pray this. Lead us not into temptation. Pray that. Jesus told us, pray this. Pray this for myself. Say, Lord, lead us not. Lead me not into temptation. Help me to recognize, you know, what's going on. You know, the nice thing about all of this is God provided a way that if we mess up, that he will forgive us. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, if I mess up, I know I'm going to mess up. I'm not stupid. I'm not deceived. That I know somewhere in between here and hopefully a couple weeks from now, but it could be an hour from now, but that I'm not going to mess up in some way. But he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Apostle Paul told us our struggle is not with flesh and blood. In Ephesians 6, it says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers. In other words, you're not my enemy. You're not my problem. But on the other side, I can't blame the devil for everything. You ever remember Flip Wilson? I don't know if you guys ever remember the comedian Flip Wilson. He did that scene, the devil made me do it. You know, why'd you go buy that new boat? Devil made me do it. You know, why'd you eat too much ice cream? Devil made me do it. You know, why? And so devil can't make you do anything unless you give him the power to do it. You know, devil can't. And, you know, on the other side, God won't either. We're a person of free choice to live and to choose. The nice thing about all this is that God has called us to be more than conquerors. He called us to conquer. And that's, I want to just close if our musician come up, one of them. There's a confession. I call it the confession version. So, you know, we got all kinds of versions of the Bible. This is the confession version. So I just changed a couple of the pronouns in there from you and us to it's personal. And so if we could go ahead and stand, and I'd like us to read this confession, if we can, together. There's this one, and then there's a part in Romans. So this verse, just so you know what's coming, so I'm not having you read something you don't believe. The second one is about us being more than conquerors and that nothing can separate us from God. So that's what we're going to be confessing in that. So let's just read this together. And not just reading it, but make it a declaration over your life personally. No temptation has overtaken me except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let me be tempted beyond what I can bear. But when I am tempted, he will also provide a way out so that I can endure it. In all these things, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father God, we thank you that you provided not only salvation and for us, God, but you provide us a way to be free from sin and to live in relationship with you and live in our purpose and destiny. We continue to welcome your presence. We welcome your Holy Spirit throughout this day, that we would recognize the truth, God. Lord, that we would recognize thought patterns that need to be changed and things that the new life that you called us to give us and the renewed mind, Lord, that you want us to have and how we see things, how we treat. Lord, there's just those familiar ways of how we even treat our family and treat our friends, God, that you want renewed in that, Lord. That we don't just get comfortable and just do the same old thing, Lord, but you would take us into new glory, God. That we can become more and more like Jesus. We welcome that, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.